Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again, these words from the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 17. Verse 5, while he, Peter, was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Today marks an important transition point for us in the church as we make our way through the church year together. We've been traveling through this season that we call Epiphany, which is a season of revealing, unveiling who this Jesus is. We see him born of the Virgin Mary, and he's placed in a manger, and yet from his very earliest days, we see this unveiling of who he is and what he has come to do. The light shines down on him to begin our Epiphany season, and these magi, these wise men, come from afar to offer their gifts and to worship him. We see Jesus go down into the water of the Jordan to be baptized by John, and we hear the voice out of the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," as the Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. We see him choose disciples. We see Jesus perform miracles. We see him teach with authority. And now, just about a week after Peter's Spirit-inspired confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we're on a mountain with Peter, James, and John to see this Christ, this Messiah, lit up with the glory of heaven, the glory that he rightfully possessed from all eternity. Not only is Jesus ablaze with light, but we have these two honored guests standing beside him, the Old Testament heroes of old. Moses stands alongside him to talk with him, and we quickly begin to see the picture that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that God had given through Moses, that law that he had given to Israel. Jesus has come and has come to fulfill it, just as he said about himself in Matthew chapter 5, "I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And the disciples, I would have imagined, would have been very excited not only to see Moses, but to see Elijah with Jesus. For you know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi chapter 4, it was foretold that Elijah would come before that great and awesome day of the Lord. So they see Elijah on the mountain with Jesus, and they imagine to themselves, this is it! The day of the Lord is here, the day of glory. Jesus shining like the sun in all of his brilliance. This is it. It's a fitting climax to the Epiphany season. And a clear message is given to us today. This is the one we've been waiting for. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, and the King. We have this neat bookend as well, as we think of this story in relation to the baptism of Jesus. In the baptism, we heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here, again, at the Mountain of Transfiguration, we hear the voice of the Father speak from the clouds, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." But then he adds an additional phrase that I think is absolutely crucial. It's going to be crucial for the disciples moving forward, and I believe it's crucial for you and for me today as we consider God's Word together and walk as followers of Jesus. The Father closes by saying, "Listen to him. Listen to him." It's as if the Father is saying, yes, this is a key moment. This is an important moment for you here. As my Son shines in his glory, he truly is everything that he said he is. He is the Savior, the King, who is more than capable of bringing the reign of the kingdom of God to earth, just as he has preached. But what your eyes see, they don't tell the whole story. Doesn't paint the entire picture. There's something more that Jesus has come to reveal, something that can only be received not through the eyes, but through the ears. And then, just like that, the moment's done. Matthew doesn't provide us detail concerning how long this period of transfiguration lasted, how long the conversation was between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus as the disciples are staring there in awe. We don't know exactly how long it is, but the passage itself reads pretty quickly. In fact, the thing that takes as much time as anything else in the story is Peter's interruption. It's good for us to be here. Maybe we should just make some tents and stay here permanently. That sounds like a great idea. And yet, as Peter is still speaking, the voice of the Father overshadows him. The glory comes on them. They are terrified. And then the glory leaves. And suddenly the disciples look around, and only Jesus remains. If we read on in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus and this inner circle of disciples are going to descend from the mountain and get right back into the mess of life. There's a dispute at the bottom of the mountain between the remaining disciples and the man who is seeking healing for his son who is suffering with a demon, and the disciples are not able to help, and Jesus immediately comes back into the ingloriousness, so to speak, that is life, as he serves this family and restores this son. I can imagine Peter, James, and John kind of taking this moment in and asking themselves, one, what just happened here? And two, why did it have to go away so quickly? No doubt they would have preferred to stay on the mountain, to have the glory of the mountain perhaps descend with them into their life so that it could touch every moment of every day as Jesus inaugurates his glorious reign. And yet as you read the disciples, it seems that the glory, the light that Jesus displays on the mountain is quickly overshadowed. In fact, the scriptures seem to indicate that times get darker, and they get darker quickly. Because you see, from the mountain, Jesus is going to descend on his way to Jerusalem. And as he goes, the resistance grows. The religious leaders set themselves against him. The disciples seem to not understand what's going on. And darkness seems to win the day. So have you been there? Have you experienced a moment, perhaps a little bit like the disciples experienced on the mountain, an especially glorious moment, a blessed moment where you felt close to God? It was a faith-shaping experience, but then you came back to reality. Have you ever gone perhaps on a retreat or gone to camp and experienced worship with fellow Christians and perhaps inspiring Bible teaching, and then you come back to reality, to work, to home, to school, where you are forced to once again deal with the stuff? Have you come to worship, perhaps even here, confessed a sin that has snagged you over and over again, heard the absolution, felt the peace of the forgiveness of sins, perhaps felt that peace as you received the body and blood of Jesus, left this place, and then later in the afternoon got caught in the same sin again? If you have, you're not alone. How quickly the glory can come, and then the glory can go. But Jesus remains. Yes, his appearance changes. He may not look as majestic as he did in that moment on the mountain, but he doesn't leave us. He comes down the mountain with us, where we follow him back into the grind and even the darkness that is sometimes the Christian life. It is there on the plain, in the mess, where we are to remember that which the Father commanded Peter, James, and John, and you and me. He said, listen to him. Listen to Jesus, because Jesus has something to say about his mission, where he's going for you and for me. For the disciples, it's going to mean listen to Jesus when he tells you that the Son of Man is taking you to Jerusalem, where he's going to be betrayed and arrested and suffer at the hands of the religious leaders and ultimately killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Judging by appearances, it would seem that everything is falling apart, and that the hopes of the disciples are misplaced as they stand and consider the event of the cross on that Friday morning. How could this be? But if they would have listened, if they would have trusted the word of Jesus, they would have understood that God's plan wasn't finished at the cross. It's not as if the cross cuts off the plan of God to save us. No, if they would have listened, they would have trusted that the cross was at the center of God's plan to save us. It was there where Jesus would usher forth his kingdom in the most unexpected of ways, as the king, through his death, opens to us the gates of heaven through the forgiveness of sins. And it's there where the true nature of God is put on full display, that nature that we hear about in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So God speaks to you and to me today as we gather to hear and receive his word and promises, to leave this place, to follow Jesus down the mountain into the plain that is our lives. You see, glimpses of Jesus' glory are important for us. They help us to remember who we are actually following, who we are actually placing our trust in. Yes, this is the Son of God after all. And yet, it's not the glimpses of glory that strengthen us and propel us forward as we follow Jesus down in the plain. No, the words of Jesus serve this purpose. The words of Jesus strengthen and propel us forward. You see, faith is created and grown not by what our eyes can see, but by what our ears hear and what our hearts trust. We hear Jesus say, for example, in John chapter 10, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." And then later in verse 27, Jesus will say in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And Paul will say in Romans chapter 10, a verse that you probably know very well, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." The words matter. The words of Jesus matter. The words of Jesus strengthen us and lead us forward when appearances can distract us and deceive us. After his resurrection, after appearing to the disciples and showing Thomas, doubting Thomas, his hands and his side, you might remember that Jesus speaks a blessing specifically for those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's speaking to you and to me today, whose faith is built not on what our eyes see, but what on our ears hear. "Blessed are you," he says, "who have not seen and have yet believed." It's a blessing for you and for me, for people not on the mountain, but on the plain. It's for people who struggle with pain, with brokenness, with their sin, and yet who trust that God will meet them in their need, not because of what they see, but because God has said so, and they take him at his word. We are led by Jesus. He calls to us by name. We hear his voice, and so he leads us. And so will be the case as we enter into a brand new season of the church year, starting this Wednesday. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We begin our journey through the season of Lent. It'll be a time to listen. It'll be a time to believe what God's word says about us, about our real, true sinfulness and the devastating consequences of that sinfulness. But even more, it'll be a time to listen to and believe the words of Jesus, and to trust that in him we have a Savior who goes to win for us an even greater forgiveness, a forgiveness far greater than our sin. Jesus says, "Listen to me." The Father says, "Listen to him." May God bless us to hear the voice of our Shepherd, to follow him down the mountain, into the plain, and even to the cross. In his holy name, amen.